Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Just as it's written, things which eye has not seen, this is 1 Corinthians 2:9, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. But notice that things are supposed to be entering into the heart of man. Everybody say, things are supposed to be entering the heart of man. What Jesus did with his death, burial, and resurrection, he didn't do it just for Christians, he did it for every human being breathing. Your Bible says that when after 3 days, God raised him up and sat him next to him. And when he sat him next to him, he sat the entire human race next to him also. There are things that they are supposed to be hearing and seeing that they're not hearing and seeing. Hence, this is why Jesus told Nicodemus, the only way you can perceive the kingdom of God is if you are born from, you're reborn from your origin. That's actually what the Aramaic says. You're reborn from your origin. What's your origin? Him. Before your identity ever was your mom and dad, your origin, your identity was him. Folks don't realize how close to the truth they are when they say that they have a divine origin. They do. First Corinthians 2:9, the Passion Translation says it like this. This is why the Scripture says, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are the many things God has in store for all of His lovers. Understand this eternal truth. Jesus used this phrase, I tell you an eternal truth, 2 or 3 times in the book of John, in the Passion Translation. An eternal truth is something that's always existed. There was never a beginning of it, and there's never an end of it. It's just an eternal, always existing truth. And that is that all human beings were created, designed, you want to call it wired, to be seeing and hearing what God, through His Holy Spirit, is constantly revealing and saying. I'll tell you this, I grew up in church my whole life and not one person ever said that to me. Not one person ever revealed that to me. Not one person ever taught us that human beings were wired. They were wired, literally wired, to see and hear everything that comes out of the mouth of God. Even though Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, he said, man is designed not just to live on natural sustenance, but to live from every word, every revelatory word that flows or comes out of the mouth of Father. John chapter 3, verse 3 in the Passion Translation, Jesus said, Nicodemus, listen, this eternal truth, here it is. You can perceive the kingdom realm of God, but you must first be reborn or born from your origin. We talk a lot about, you know, this is sin and that's sin, this is sin and that's sin. And, you know, I think for the most part, we've completely missed the boat on, you know, communicating these kind of things, because things are sin because they're missing the mark, because they're off mark from who you really are. You have a divine origin. When things get a hold of you, they twist you up. And they cause you not to recognize your divine origin. In Romans, it says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The sad thing about those verses is that the church used those verses to hit people over the head with. when all that was actually saying was communicating to you that in your natural man, you're subject to everything that comes down the pipe, and it's going to continually steer you away from and twist and cloud the mirror so that you don't, A, see yourself in your divine identity, and B, you won't produce the fruit of that. That's why it's a missing of the mark, or that's why that's what we call sin. It's actually, it's an archery term, but it means something else too. But this is the reason that God doesn't like things on human beings. It's not because he's trying to, you know, mess up your party, or it's not because he's trying to be a being. He's not mean. The fact is, he knows your divine identity, and he wants you to see it and then enjoy it. So again, being born again, or the rebirth, the being born from the origin, that's the Aramaic translation. Born from the origin, you have to be, in order to perceive the kingdom of God, you have to reconnect, be reseated back on your divine identity. Because you were designed to hear and see everything that comes out of God. Now, the worst thing that can happen in this series is if we take in all the information and we log it in our spiritual Rolodex and it just sits there. Because all you've done now, you've reduced revelatory matter down to mental matter, and there is no power in mental matter. Notice this. Jesus said, in order to be my disciples, you have to think from my logic. Everybody say, think from his logic. In order to think from his logic, we got to stop thinking from ours. You know, you can tell that you're thinking from your logic if you strike up a conversation and it's disparaging against somebody else, but you're somehow in the middle and you're elevated up. That means we're speaking from our own logic. Because in our own eyes, you know, we're always the best one in the picture, right? It's always somebody else's issue. And I challenge you, we do this a lot. Part of establishing authentic lives and authentic community is recognizing in your life where you have a tendency when you open your mouth, and if anybody else is involved in that conversation, as far as who you're talking about, if you elevate yourself above them. In other words, their rationale is not right, their reason is not right, what they did isn't right. That's all part of the mental man that you're living in right then. That's not living from his logic, that's living from yours. Because his logic values the people you're talking about. You might as well say amen. His logic values the people that you're talking about. So, notice this environment. Jesus said, in order to be my disciples, you have to think with my logic. Notice what surrounded, the environment that surrounded Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33, he said this. It says this, he'll be great, and this is talking about Jesus. It's a prophetic, talking about Jesus. Old Testament verses speaking about when he came into the earth as a man. He says, he'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. And notice what it says here. His kingdom will have no end. You know what's interesting about that verse? We all know that verse. But we've relegated that verse to our spiritual Rolodex, and it's supposed to apply on the sweet by and by when we're all out of here. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because our lives tell on us. Notice this verse says his kingdom will have no end. Is his kingdom then or is it right now? So if his kingdom will have no end, think about this, guys. If his kingdom has no end and it's always prevailing and it's right now, that means anytime you put yourself in a position to speak from his kingdom or act from his kingdom, it will produce kingdom results, and you have a guarantee in this verse. Because there is no end to his kingdom. That means it's always advancing, it's always progressing, it's always growing. Why do you think Jesus in so many places likened the kingdom to, say, bread yeast? How many have ever used bread yeast before? Yeah, I've used bread yeast before. When I was a kid in junior high, I had to take home economics. You know, it wasn't too bad. I got to eat stuff. It's pretty good. But we had to make stuff, you know, and you kind of learn about yeast. You put the yeast in. Of course, I was in the restaurant business after that, so I used yeast all the time after that. So you get water at a certain temperature, a certain environment, and the yeast goes in, and it will begin to expand. You can see it expanding. The only time it wouldn't expand is if it was too old and it was bad. But how many of the kingdom of God, when Jesus said the kingdom of God is like yeast, he's not talking about bad yeast. Because the prophetic word said there will be no end to his kingdom. So it's constantly expanding. And then in another place in verse 35, he says nothing will be impossible with God. Why? Because the kingdom of God is always expanding. The kingdom is always advancing. The kingdom is always like yeast. It's always infiltrating and it's always effecting. Effect, whichever one it is. Both of them. I always get those mixed up. John 1:51, Jesus is speaking from within that environment, and he says this. Again, these are all review verses for you. He said to Nathanael, truly I say to you that the heavens that you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, that's actually a quote from an Old Testament verse, Genesis chapter 28, verses 12 through 17. Well, you remember the story. Jacob is in a land and he lays down on a rock. I don't know, how would you use rocks as pillows? Doesn't seem very comfortable, but I guess it keeps your head off the ground, right? So he lays down and he has a dream. And in the dream, it says in Genesis 28:12, Jacob had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. This is exactly what Jesus was just talking about. And it says, its top was reaching to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, in verse 13, the Lord stood above it, and what? And what? He said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. He goes on to say in verse 14, your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west, to the east, and to the north, and to the south. Sounds a little bit like yeast, doesn't it? Sounds a little bit like the kingdom, doesn't it? He goes on to say, you and your descendants, interesting enough, in the Old Testament, in the margin doesn't say plural descendants, it says singular seed. Everybody say singular. And it says all the families of the earth, everybody say all. All the families of the earth. Does that mean all or just some? Does that mean all, only the ones that agree with you? How come nobody said no? There's no sound. Does that mean, does all mean all, but it's only the ones that agree with you? I should throw that man out. Okay. No, it means all. All means all, right? He said, through your descendant, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Everybody say blessed. Verse 15, behold, I'm with you, and will keep you wherever you go. That's good. And will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until all I have done, all that I have promised you. Verse 16, Jacob arose from the sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't know it. Verse 17, he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place. Now notice what he said. This is none other than the house of God. Everybody say the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. I said a gate. You know, Jesus talked a lot about gates. He talked a lot about gates and he talked a lot about doors. Paul talked a lot about doors. Everybody say gates and doors. See, in the environment of the kingdom, there are gates and doors. But what's interesting here, Jacob pretty much lays out the environment of that which is supposed to be common in the house of God. Everybody say common. What does common mean? Common means it's everyday thing. Now, I kind of came from probably the same place as you. I came out of the mental religion of man. And the mental religion of man basically says all things are possible if I can do them. Right? But you remember Jesus said the environment that God was talking about, the kingdom environment, he was saying all things are possible, period. Yeah, but he said all things are possible with God. Yeah, but he also said later on, all things are possible to him that believe. In other words, believing is simply responding to the revelation that is coming from God, and you're acting on what he's giving you. So his impossible, his possible becomes your possible. So the attributes of the house of God that are supposed to be common, you can blame it on Jacob, he's the one that said it. The environment of the house of God is, look at these three things. The angels of God were ascending and descending. In other words, there was constant angelic activity between heaven and earth. Right? I heard the coolest story yesterday. This guy was in a Whole Foods or one of those AJs or something like that. And he he saw this guy in a wheelchair. And, like a good obeying husband, he went to the checkout line because his wife said, I got to go get something. I'll meet you back here. But he said, I just kept thinking about that guy in the wheelchair. So I left the line and I went to go see if I could find him. Well, I found him in the frozen food section. So I started a conversation with him, asking him, what exactly happened here? What's your story? And he began to tell him that he was rather jovial guy, he was a pretty happy guy, loud and boisterous type of guy. And he said, he said some years ago, multiple sclerosis just hit me, and I lost all feeling in my legs, and here I am. Well, the individual said, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah. So the individual got down on his knees, on the level where the guy was sitting. And he laid his hands on his legs and he started to pray and pray over the legs. And he noticed the guy, when he looked up a little bit, he noticed the guy was crying. And he kept on praying. And then a little while later, he noticed that he looked up again, the guy was still crying, but he noticed there was a man on one side of him, had his hand on the right shoulder. There was a man on the left side, had his hand on the left shoulder. And they weren't making a bunch of noise, but they had their hands on him. And he finished his prayer and he stood up and the two individuals left. Didn't say a word, just left. And by this time his daughter had found the aisle and he said, I didn't ask him how things were. I didn't ask him if things were better. I didn't ask him anything like that. He was out of town, and so he had to go back. He was driving back that day, and so I did get his business card, and I actually emailed him later and asked him, how are your legs feeling? How was the trip home? He said, I did actually feel some things. I felt warmth in my legs, and there was angels standing on each side of me when you were praying. I got in the car, we took the trip back, and I can't ride 45 minutes without having to get out of the car. But we rode all the way back, and I didn't have one issue. So the guy asked his daughter, what did you see? She drew a picture of what she saw, and they were angels. Part of the environment of the kingdom of God and the house of God is, as you see here, angelic interaction between heaven and earth. It's only the Sadducee mindset that we talked about that developed, it really is just a common trait of human beings, but it really developed in their environment within the 400 years, silent years between the Old Testament, last book, Malachi, and Matthew. you really get a, if you'll read anything about the 400 silent years, you'll see how the Sadducees and the Pharisees developed. The Pharisees basically developed their stronghold as a defense against what the Sadducees were trying to do, trying to make all of culture, all of society secular. There is no supernatural. There is none of that stuff. So, but Jacob said even back in his day that part of the environment of the kingdom of God and the house of God would be angels of God ascending and descending upon the earth. Jesus took that one step further and he said, Nathaniel, you think you're amazed because as you were walking up, I told you I had seen you under the fig tree before you got here. It wasn't like he was just right over there 20 feet away sitting under a fig tree. Otherwise, Nathaniel would have said, well, you saw me over there. Where he was sitting was somewhere completely not even connected to where Jesus was. But by the Spirit of God, Jesus saw Nathaniel sitting under a fig tree. He also cared enough about Nathaniel, instead of saying, Nathaniel, you're just a pessimist. Natural people, you could say that, because his brother said, hey man, we found the Messiah, come and see. He came out of Nazareth, and that's all he had to say was he's from Nazareth. And Nathaniel scoffed and said, man, does anything even come good out of Nazareth? Backstory on that, you go into the 400 silent years, Nazareth was known for its population of thievery and crime. So Nathaniel reacted according to what natural circumstances presented themselves. Can anything good come from Nazareth? When he got in front of Jesus, instead of calling him out on his junk, his pessimism, he simply told him, gave him his kingdom identity. He said, here's an honest man. And then he told him he saw him under the fig tree before he got there. He said, if you think that's amazing, Nathaniel, you're going to start seeing in an environment where you're going to see as common the angels of God ascending and descending upon me. What does that mean? Did you know I'm getting way off my notes here, but did you know that angels can speak into your ears? We would just assume it's a thought. Oh, I just had this thought. Or just something just came to me. Or some of the more spiritual people might say, well, the Holy Spirit told me. But what if it was an angel? I'm glad angels don't get offended. Because, I mean, the church has completely relegated them out of the picture. You know, they're doing all this work on behalf of those that are to inherit salvation, and they never even get a reference. But they'll speak in your ear. They'll give you a thought. That's one of the environments of the kingdom of God. That's one of the environments that's supposed to be common in the household of God, the house of God. The second one is the Lord stood above it and said. So another common environment in the kingdom of God and the house of God is He's speaking. Now, I got to tell you, when I grew up in church my whole life, everybody told me he doesn't do that anymore. Somehow, God had a tracheotomy, and they took out his voice box. He doesn't speak anymore. Can you imagine going for eternity not saying anything? That is crazy. But that's the mental logic religion of man. If I don't experience it, it must not be. But here we see that a common occurrence, a common environment is the Lord is speaking. Frankly, he might be speaking through the angels that are ascending and descending. Holy Spirit's over all of them, so no reason to get all freaked out. Oh, and finally, sorry, the third one is, he said, I'll be with you and keep you wherever you go. That sounds like a verse we see in Hebrews, isn't it? Can anybody tell me what they read about it? It's in the book of Hebrews. Can everybody quote that verse in Hebrews that has to do with, I'll never leave you or forsake you? Oh, I just said it. So we know that verse is common in the environment of New Covenant and the household of God. He said, I'll never leave you. In fact, I love the way The Passion Translation says it because the Passion Translation actually quotes it the way the original Greek text says it. And it's not just a flippant, I'll never leave you. It's a, I'll never leave you. How many know if God accentuates something twice, he really means what he says? I'm glad he means what he says it once. But that's the environment. The angels of God ascending and descending upon on the ladder. The Lord stood above it and was saying some things, and I'll be with you wherever you go. What's the result of this environment? Well, the result of this environment is, he said, you'll spread out and it'll cause you to inherit north, south, east, and west. Everybody say, that's kingdom. And it also, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So as you're spreading out north, south, east, and west, the result for everyone else around you is they're blessed. That's kind of a dichotomy compared to what the way natural mental man thinks, isn't it? Because if one person's spreading out north, south, east, and west, somebody else is losing north, south, east, and west, right? But notice the kingdom, it's a win-win on both sides. Notice this. Galatians 3:13 and 14, in the Old Testament verses it talked about, you know, he made the promise to his descendants, or the margin said seed. Here's the verse to back that up, Galatians 3:13 and 14 and verse 16. Christ redeemed us from the curse of law, having become a curse for us, as it's written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit. What was the blessing of the Lord? The presence of the Spirit of God. He told us that in Genesis. Didn't he? I said, didn't he? So, Christ redeemed you from the curse of, you notice how it's written on the screen, the curse of law. Isn't it amazing that the very thing that Jesus has set us free from, we run right back into? Let's just do a law test. Everybody ready for a law test? Let's do a law test. You know how they have these tests where they can go in your home and they can tell if there's asbestos or lead or whatever, you know? Well, this is one of those tests. This is a law test. Nobody needs to answer. You can just, go home and ponder this. If there is any place in your life that you find yourself constantly getting beat up about between your own two ears. Any place where you battle with the area of condemnation and condescending and, fill in the blank. Any area, that's an area you set up law in. You get rid of the law, the condemnation goes away. Because human beings weren't designed to live under condemnation or under law, because law beats you up and makes you angry. Imagine what would happen in the world if the church would get a clue and begin to learn how to live from heaven's vantage point and heaven's perspectives. And I like the way that video said, and treat everyone as valuable as if it's their birthday. Because every human being has a divine origin and a divine identity. And all we did was learn how to flow from everything that came out of the mouth of Father towards someone else. Imagine what would happen in our society. What would happen is everything that has been established in culture to push back would go away. Because the pushback is only there because somebody set up a law and started beating somebody over the head with it. The only law that a human being is designed to live under is the new law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. What is that? It is learning how to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Father, because that is the environment. Everybody say, this is kingdom. Notice what the screen says. This is a quote from a guy named Chad Johnson. You're going to learn a lot about him in the next coming months. He said this, there's an entirely new way to be human. I love that. Everybody say it. There's an entirely new way to be human. And an entirely new reality breaking into the old one of death and dying. How many want to know what that new way is? Well, before we go there, let me just ask, how many in here are completely satisfied with as much of God as you're experiencing? Are you sure? How many people are completely satisfied with as much of God as you're experiencing? Don't you go into that condemnation wagon. That wasn't a question designed for that. If you're like me, you'd say no, because I'd say no. I'd lift up both arms and both legs, but then I'd fall on the floor. It doesn't look good for internet land. So, how many want to experience that new way of being human? If no one can muster any effort to raise their hand, then maybe we don't want it that bad. How many want to experience that new way of being human? I have in my hand a book. And I know you'll read it a number of times because I bought it. Sweet. So you can each have one of your own. Oh, yeah. Yes, it's actually on your iPad, but you can have a markup one because the one on the iPad's already marked up by me. Well, you want to highlight things that are you. Okay. Everybody gets their own. You get a book, and you get a book, and you get a book. I have more. I don't know that I want to throw this to the sound person. This one is, well, I'll tell you what. This one is Robert. You can give that to him. Okay. Here's the thing about this book. This is the most awesome parameters. Talking about not setting up any laws, okay? I'm simply asking you if you would be willing to take this journey with me. You can make that decision on your own. I'm never going to say, well, I guess you're voted out. We're voting you off the island if you decide not to take the journey. I would just ask if you don't want to take the journey, give the book back so I can give it to somebody who does. And it's okay if you don't. That's fine. First thing you need to do is read the book, not during the service. Start when you want to. That's a good one, right? Start when you want to and take as long as you want to. And then as you go through the book is called 1,000 Risks. You say, what's the plan, Pastor Dan?
Thank you.
Just want to make sure you knew, you know. 1,000 Risks. Well, you know, some people don't read, so they wouldn't know what the cover said. But 1,000 Risks, and what you do is this. Whenever you want to, start stepping out and taking what is a risk for you. And then journal the results. Now, a risk will involve someone else being involved. Right? Don't journal in the book. Don't journal in your journal. Well, I got out of bed when I didn't want to. That's not a risk. Not like this. So, You can take as long as you want to. I mean, if you did the book, he talks about taking one risk a day. And it took him about 2.5 years. That's pretty liberal, you know. But, maybe it didn't take him that long. I don't know. Because on his 40th birthday, he took like 40 risks just to celebrate turning 40. So that book now belongs to you. Unless you don't want to read it, then you can give it back to me. But I promise you, if you go on this journey, you'll never be the same ever again. And I don't mean that as a cliche. It's a fact. In fact, this book probably will be the book that sets you free from you forever. And I need to be set free from me. I want to just kind of bring this up. We're going to close here because I don't have time for all this. But we're talking about the kingdom of God. And we're going to get into some of this in future weeks. It's important for us to understand and for the kingdom of God to become more real to you. We talked about the environment that is the kingdom. But it's important that it becomes more real to you. And but the thing about it is like Jesus said a number of times, the kingdom of God is at hand. Remember Jesus saying that? The kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? The kingdom of God is at hand. Well, whenever you want to know something in the Word of God, if you want to know, what does that mean? Because that phrase probably shows up other places. If you do a study in your concordance and you know, on your computer, pull it up, type in the phrase, in quotes, at hand, and find out where else in the New Testament it shows up. That's how you're going to figure out, okay, where else is it used and what does it mean? Well, you know, I already did the hard work for you. Matthew 26, 45 through 47, he said this, and Jesus came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? He was in the garden. He's getting ready to be turned over to the soldiers to be crucified. You know the story. He went out there to pray, and they decided to take a nap. And so he comes back, and they're sleeping. He says, are you still sleeping and resting? This was the second time he had interrupted their sleep. Behold, the hour is at hand. Everybody say at hand. And the Son of Man is being betrayed. So in this verse, at hand means it's right now. Right? And then another place, verse 46, he says this, get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is what? At hand. He goes on to say in verse 47, while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up. So at hand means right now while you're still speaking. So if Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand, what does that mean? It's right now while you're still speaking. Anywhere you go, any of these 1,000 risks you take, the kingdom of God is right now while you're speaking. Everybody say that. The kingdom of God is right now while I'm speaking. Couple of things. It's for everyone, but you have to cultivate your desire and pursue it. Everybody say, the kingdom is for everyone. But you have to cultivate your desire and pursue it. Notice these verses and we'll close. Matthew 5:1. You can't read Matthew the same ever again once you realize that all Jesus talks about in the whole entire thing is the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. The kingdom that's right now while I'm speaking. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice it didn't say it might be. Now, if you grew up like me in the mental man's religion, you got told that the kingdom is when you die. Well, that sucks because I'm living right now. and I need it now. People all over this city don't need it when they die. They want it right now, so they don't die. You might as well say amen. Amen. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's verses that connect the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. There is no difference. He uses heaven and God in the same series of verses. So there's no, don't try to parse it and say, well, the kingdom of heaven is speaking about something else. It's not. I've already done the study. It's already there. You can read your own Bible and find it. Matthew 5:1, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, who are the poor in spirit? Well, considering that man is a spirit, he has a soul, which is his mind, his will, his emotions, his feelings, and he lives in an earth suit called the body, then that would qualify every human being. Right? You say, well, how are you poor in spirit? If you're the old model, you are. I don't really have much of a desire to go back to a flip phone. It's just me. Because once you've tasted the new models, the old model just can't do anything like the new model can, right? Did you know you're the new model? If you made Jesus the Lord of your life and you've declared that He really is who He says He is, then the Spirit of God comes, fuses Himself inside of you, and now you are the new model. You have capabilities that the old model doesn't have. What's the old model? The old model is simply natural man. Flip phone versus iPhone 10 or 8. So he's saying the kingdom of God belongs to every human being, especially the ones that are just natural human beings. The kingdom of God is specifically for you so that He can upgrade you to the new model. And then you'll learn how to facilitate those new capabilities that you now have and learn how to think and see and live from the kingdom, especially on behalf of somebody else. Notice this, Matthew 5:6-8, blessed are those who what? Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Or literally, the Greek text says they will allow God to be seen. You know why they allow God to be seen? Because they're living by every logic from Father, not out of their own logic in their own heads. You can't hunger and thirst for Him and hold on to your own valued, highly prized vantage point. So, the kingdom is for everyone, but you have to hunger and thirst and press into it. That's what Jesus said in John, on John 7, he said, verse 37-39, he said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come. Notice that he didn't say for you to just sit there and expect somebody to come to you. And then he says, let him come and drink. How many know drinking? I guess you could have somebody pour something down your throat, but that's rather uncomfortable. So, in order to experience and taste and see that the Lord is good and experience the kingdom and all of the environment that surrounds the kingdom, you have to be willing, A, to let go of all your own mental thinking. He'll replace it with His and that will become yours, but we don't want to latch on to your own mental thinking at any point if He brings something in and shows you something different than what your eyes are telling you, what your ears are letting you hear, and the natural circumstances around. You remember what I said? You can have five people sitting in a row, all five of them looking, they're in the same exact boat. They have the same exact disease, whatever, and all five of them, there's something different behind the scenes that's affecting them or causing that disease in their body or causing whatever they're battling with in their body, even though on the outside they all appear to have the same exact issue. You need to be able to learn how to hear what you're supposed to hear and see what you're supposed to see in order to deal with every individual specifically to set them free. You don't get that out of listening to a DVD. You don't get that out of just reading a book. You don't get that by any means except read the book, listen to the DVD, listen to whatever, but then go put weight on it out there in the real world and learn how to see what he sees and hear what he hears in the moments all the time. But you have to come and you have to drink. You know, I don't mean anything bad by this. But, or I should say this. I don't mean anything bad by this, however. Because but usually means pay no attention to what I just said. An environment we see a lot of times in the church is people saying, you know, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. There's nothing wrong with that. We should drop what we're doing right then and there and pray for them. Even if they don't offer, ask, can I pray for you? But sometimes people simply say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, because they don't want to hunger and thirst after the kingdom. And at a certain point, Jesus is saying, you come and drink. And when you come and drink, like the verse goes on to say, that drink, it will become a river flowing up in you. But you had to prime the pump by drinking. It may take 1,000 risks for the river to flow. It may take 6. It may take 2. We don't even know, because everybody's different. But the fact is, if you're willing to drink, if you're willing to take the risk, if you're willing to override what's trying to hold you down and take the risk, you will find that the Spirit of the Lord, God will take you and catapult you forward into a whole realm of life that you've never even dreamed you could do. But the funny thing about it is that was your identity all along. That's who you really were. You remember in Isaiah, it talked about Jesus. He was describing the crucifixion. And it says his image, his face was marred beyond recognition. Jesus had to become something he wasn't. Come through the other end of that and let the Father raise him up so that he can be restored to who he really was. The same thing is true for you. There are things that have been layered into your life by human beings, well-meaning or not, it's just the natural system. And whether you realize it or not, they've literally taken hold of your personality, taken hold of who you are, who you think you are, I should say it that way. They've taken hold and they basically begin to mold you and potter you to act and be a certain individual that is not your divine origin or your divine identity. And all of the lessons on who you are and all of the teachings and all of the scriptures and all of the series and all of the books and the DVDs and all of that, none of that stuff will ever set you free. It's not designed to. You can't live from another man or woman's revelation. Somebody else's revelation is not going to set you free. It's designed to draw you into His revelatory word and let that set you free. If you've heard me say it once, you've probably heard me say it a million times. I love reading books. I read them all the time. That's why you're holding one. But those books, I don't live from the book. I take what's in the book and I go and I get with my Father. I spend time with my Daddy and I let Him show me and reveal things to me from His revelatory word. And that revelatory word, when I act on it and live it and walk it out, that is what sets me free. The system is no different for you. That is the system for a human being. You have to come and drink. If you come and drink enough, the river will flow. Every human being was given the kingdom. Every single one. They need us to demonstrate it so they can get a taste of it. And then they'll run to Jesus. Human beings don't hate Jesus, they hate religion. And that stupid little religious Jesus image they put out there. I never saw a scrawny carpenter. Did you? Never seen a scrawny carpenter. Or a dude that can carry his cross after being filleted. I know this is probably not good to say on internet land. But, you know, the world has a phrase. They would say, that's badass. Jesus was, he wasn't some wimp. He did what he did, man. He did it. After having his flesh filleted, he carries this big old cross. He did it so that you could develop in learning to hear and see what he was hearing and seeing. And he submitted himself up under that. And he wants you to learn how to submit yourself up under that. And then set other people free and teach them how to learn how to see and hear and submit themselves. And it just keeps going and going and going. And the kingdom of God has no end. Amen? Did you guys get anything out of this? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you. Jesus, thank you for setting us in your kingdom. Thank you for wiring us to see what you see and hear what you hear. Thank you for giving us the tools to unhitch from our own mental logic and to see things from heaven's perspective. What if I told you, I am done, but I just want to share this with you. What if I told you that there was a book you could read that would cause you to see and hear things from the kingdom? Would that be a book worth investing in? Only one person said yes because nobody else trusts me. It's not really a trick question, honestly. If there was a book that you could read that would cause you to begin to see and hear heaven's vantage point, kingdom things, would that be worth the investment? I think it would be. I mean, books can range in price, but would it not be worth the investment? Worth the time? So, what if I told you that the book costs about the price of a hamburger? Now, you know, the average cost of a hamburger is $6, right? Around $6. I mean, you get the super fancy ones too, and you pay $9, $10 for them, $12. But I'm talking about the general, just ordinary $6 hamburger. Would it be worth it? Would it be worth spending $6? Is this one of these Christian moments where we're all doing doggy on the dashboard? Or are we actually speaking truth here? Is $6 worth it? How about if you didn't, what if I told you didn't even have to read it? And it would still do the same thing. You could spend $6, you wouldn't have to read the book, and it would still do the same thing. It would cause you to develop in seeing and hearing things from heaven's vantage point. Would it be worth it? Are you sure? We're all speaking truth here? Jesus knows. You ever been on Amazon? Is that on the screen? What I'm looking at is the Passion Translation, the entire writings of Paul. Now, you can go there and you can order the paperback version, pay one price. You could order the digital version, pay another price. Or you could just simply download the audio book for $6. How many are busy? You're not busy? I'm busy. All the time. That's a good answer. All the time. You know what I do to multiply my time? Is I have the audio books of everyone that he's done so far in the Passion Translation, and I listen to them over and over and over again in my car to someplace and back from someplace. So I'm driving, and I'm also putting the word in. Every time I turn it on, I see something else that I didn't see the last time I listened to it. $6. So there you go. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for leading us and drawing us into your kingdom, drawing us into your word, drawing us into your lifestyle, drawing us into a life, a new way to do human. And we just thank you and praise you for it. And we thank you for the results and who you're bringing us to be in the years to come. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.